Good morning. We have been having a really good time this month of July, and today we're going to complete the circle. We've been talking really over the past several weeks about being in a flow state, where you just feel that divinity and you are in flow, in alignment with God. We talked about being enough recently, and knowing that in our heart of hearts that we are enough. And that we can help others know that they too are enough. And then last Sunday, we actually may have created a new holiday here at Unity of Dallas, Native American Sunday. Because really been looking at how can we bring more peace to the world and how can we make a difference. And I just feel that many of the teachings of the Native Americans were about that. And they align with the truth and the principles and the discussions that we have here at Unity of Dallas. Now, how many of you feel like in your life, or at least some point in your life, you came full circle in a certain situation? A few hands. I believe there's going to be a lot more hands before the day's over. And I'm going to believe that some of you may want to grab the microphone and talk about it. And there may be an opportunity for that too today. Don't run out. Don't leave just yet. Because so many things are about completing the circle in life and where you get back to that same situation that you've been in before, either in that relationship or a new relationship that seems like the old relationship. That's actually called running in circles. But when you came around and you went full circle with that person or that situation or that financial decision, did you make a different choice? Did you have the awareness and the expansion of consciousness to see that, oh, I've been here before, but I am so proud of myself because I made a better decision. I stopped, I prayed, I got still, I got quiet in the magical silence, and I went and made a better decision. Now, generally, about Wednesday, we're really more like Thursday or Friday, every once in a while, Saturday, I do a meditation. I meditate every day, okay? But I do this meditation to decide what is really present and alive in me to share on Sunday. I never mail it in like 6 months before and just write something up. It's usually later in the week. And when I did it this week, I kept seeing the image of a circle. And it looked a little bit like this, where the dots are connected, a little bit like your talk, you know, connecting the dots, and the reminder that, yes, we are all one, we are one with God and each other, unity's first principle. I kept seeing the circle, and now they've been thinking about this law of circulation, how we are always giving and receiving. A lot of times people think of giving and receiving might just be financial, or if I give love, I'm going to receive love. But it's so much more than that when Jesus talked about sowing and reaping. So much more than that. Then usually something happens when I'm deciding on a talk that lets me know, oh yeah, you should do that talk. Something later in the week, synchronicity, something happens. So this week it was at the chiropractor on Saturday afternoon, yesterday afternoon. And that's happened before. I'm at the chiropractor, I walk in, and there's a cowboy sitting there. That's why I knew I had to summon my inner Johnny Cash today and wear my Johnny Cash boots. A cowboy, 50 years he worked at King Ranch, I think it's called. You guys know King Ranch? Everybody's heard of it but me. And apparently there's more than 1 million acres there. He told me about these acres and how they could afford to pay for those 1,500 pounds of cows and all the fancy steer and the horses and everything that they had down there, because they had something else on the property called oil. Yeah, so there's that. Okay, so that kind of blew my image for a second of the cowboy in the ranch. Anyway, so he what he said when I walked in, he goes, "Hello, young fella." And I was like, oh, thank you, you know, just kind of walking in there. Hello, young fella. And he was sitting there with his boots on, and he said, "Do you come here often?" And I'm like, well, he says, "I like to come here, it helps my attitude." I said, "I come here as much as possible." I said, "What? Why do you need a chiropractor?" And he goes, "Oh, wrestling, wrestling those 1,100-pound cows and roping, and I was a professional roper. And I said, of course, the minister mind and the documentarian mind started asking questions. I want to know more about this. And I said, well, tell me about that roping. And he said, one of the big keys is the circle, the loop. He said, you got to make the loop the right size out there. And then you got to, and he goes, it's a hand deal. He said, with that rope. He goes like this. He goes, it's a hand deal. You got to make it smaller for some people or some animals and larger for other animals. And, you know, when you're doing the steer, you only want to rope the steer and not the whole neck, because then they'll get, you know, choke out and all this type of thing. He said, but it's a hand deal. And he said, you know, you got to watch where those critters are going too, you know, because they're like this. They don't go in a straight line. You know, they tend to go this way. So you got to be laser sharp in your focus on where you think they're going to go. And he did this in rodeo and competitions and everything. So he asked me, he said, what about you? Have you done rodeo? I said, as a matter of fact, no, I retired from that back at Unity of Dallas with the mechanical bull last year, which is why I'm here, by the way. And he said, Unity of Dallas, is that a ranch? I said, not exactly. But even the chiropractor there is a cowboy. I mean, there's so many cowboys, and there's always a different chiropractor, but it just so happened this guy is a cowboy, and he's over there reading my notes, and he says, tell me about that mechanical bull. And I was like, why do you guys always ask me this? It's why I'm here. And he said, well, it says to ask you about the mechanical bull. But I got to thinking about that loop that he talked about, that hand deal. And the loop that we're talking about today is more of a heart deal. How much do I open it? How much am I willing to receive? And how much am I willing to give? In that moving target of life, can I have laser vision and figure out where I need to go based on that? Charles Fillmore talked a lot about that, the law of circulation and this idea of giving and receiving. And last week, I showed this wolf, and we talked about the dark and the light and the shadow self a little bit, but even in the dark, there's that light coming through. And Charles Fillmore, when he talks about the circulation of life, he's always talking about letting that light come through. Now, what most of you may not know is the co-founder of Unity, Charles Fillmore, he grew up around Native Americans. The Chippewa, I think I'm saying that right, he would run out and out of their teepees just like they were. He grew up in the woods with them. And then until the Sioux tribe came by and the medicine man and some of their band there grabbed him out of the mother's arms and took him away. Eventually brought him back, but it's just an interesting story in the book, The Story of Unity, because it talks about him coming back, and his mother was freaked out, but always felt like a mystical experience had happened to Charles during that experience. But he talks about this current of life. He talks about how it's a psychological, physical, and a spiritual side to circulation, which I like, because we're always talking here about unity, about mind, body, spirit being in balance. But he says that, you know, Charles Fillmore taught that anyone, this is a lecture from 1936. So Charles Fillmore taught that anyone who seeks can find the principle of circulation. Even in his own mind, he discovers laws that govern mind action universally, which is connected to everything. He talks about one of our 12 powers of will. The will operating through the front brain controls the circulation of the life force in the body. So that's that laser sharp. That's the loop. He called it front brain, front of brain, controlling the life force in our body. So how are you doing that in your life today with this idea of giving and receiving, reaping and sowing, the boomerang effect? Even things like grief, there's a certain giving and receiving element that I'm going to talk about a little bit. But first, of course, there was this parable I spoke of last week where the grandson asked the grandfather, which wolf in you is going to win? the grandfather said, the wolf that you feed. So today we're going to think about how are we feeding the wolf still with the peace that we're putting out into the world and with these other ideas. My father was a... Well, first I want to talk about what Ann brought up here last week. I have to mention that because you brought the peace pipe up. I should have told you to wear cowboy boots today. But she brought the peace pipe up and talked about what may go in the peace pipe. Not from experience, of course. But then Brother Eric here was telling me about really the peace pipe comes in two pieces. There's... And it represents the divine masculine and divine feminine. It represents Father Sky and Mother Earth coming together and being connected. Then the Native Americans would sit in a circle, and the prayers would go up in the ethers of the smoke as they would pray for peace. I never knew that, so I appreciate you absolutely sharing that with me, because how much do we need that in the world with all the war and all the things that we read about in the news? My father was in the Korean War, and something interesting about that war is that it never ended. I don't know if you're aware of that, but they never actually ended it, armistice or any way. They didn't end it. They just came up with sort of a ceasefire. Now, I don't think that's standing for peace like Mother Teresa talked about, that I will not protest this war, but I will stand for peace, just like these bracelets we wear around here. I won't stand against it, but I will stand for love. Imagine that. What is their bedrock in Korea right now? I mean, they don't know. I mean, it's like saying, okay, well, if you shoot, I shoot. If you don't shoot, then I won't shoot. That's not really peace. That's not really a bedrock to stand on and to support and to expand in consciousness. To say, hey, we're going to give our former enemies and we're going to receive for our former enemies. That's not peace. So the bedrock I want you to stand on to think about is this. This is one of my favorite verses, and of course this is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthians, but he says, trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, is the way I like to say it. And the best of the three is love. Okay, you've heard this before, this is the Message version, and I like it because trust steadily in God, what does that mean? It doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to trust steadily in God unless somebody looks like they're about to shoot over there. Or I'm going to trust in God until this person breaks my heart, then I'm never going to love again. Because I'm not going to trust them. I'm going to put up a wall. That's worry. That's the opposite of trusting in God. If we consume ourselves in the stress of worry, that is not trusting. And I especially love this one, hope unswervingly. Don't you like that word, unswervingly? Sarah, when you're driving, do you swerve? No, no. I did when I was 16. This part about, you know, first of all, I should mention what the name, the word hope comes from an old English word, hapa. And it doesn't mean like, oh, I'm just going to kind of hope things turn out. It means I'm going to know confidently in this outcome is the original meaning of that word, hope. Now, my parents, when I was 16 years old, didn't have a lot of hope that I was not going to return home without a wrecked car a lot of times. And I had an all-terrain Mustang that I could not total. And I tried. Couldn't total it. I actually was taking a date home one time, and somebody I had a little crush on. I know, right? Okay. And there I'm driving home, being kind of cool with my hand like this. And trying to make deadline. She had to be home by midnight. Or I had to be home by midnight. One of us had to be home by midnight. And I'm driving, you know, like that. And still trying to make the deadline. And all of a sudden, the street does this. It dog legs to the left. But what did I do? I dog legged to the right. And because I swerved. And all of a sudden, right before, the last thing I saw was like this big gully with a concrete embankment on the other side. So last second, because I'd seen Dukes of Hazzard, and I had all the training I need by Smokey and the Bandit, to punch it at the last second. That's what they did in the movies. And right then, the car went flying. And what I remember to this day is the my date over here. She's like going, "Jimmy!" like this. And then we landed on the just on the other side of the embankment, and it's nothing like the movies where they can jump other cars and all these things, and they just kind of go like that. Oh, no, our heads were all up in the ceiling, and we're flying around. And we finally come to a stop, and there's stuff sticking out of the car everywhere in every direction. The axle's over there somewhere, but I couldn't total it. I couldn't total it. But I swerved, and so what I tried to get in life is to become a better driver, and I know I'm making you nervous about me driving right now, but just know I haven't wrecked since maybe college. That was my, as a driver, that is. So years later, I get to take a class called EVOC. I recommend it to all of you. EVOC is Evasive Vehicular Operations Center. And the FBI puts it on, and you get to do anything in a car you've ever wanted to do and actually learn how to do it well. And after 2 or 3 days of it, I was right there at the top of the class. And then they did the backing course. And this was going to determine who kind of the top gun was. And, you know, ego, I really wanted that, right? So I said, I'm going to win this. I know how to back up pretty good. So they taught us all the proper techniques and everything, how to do it, how to put the foot there and the hand here and the hand here and laser sharp focus, right? Anticipate the cones. So we went through all these cones, a slalom course, backing up really fast because you're getting timed. And at, toward the end, there's a 90-degree turn you got to make into what they called the garage. And it was this garage built out of cones. You see what's coming? I was doing so well all the way through it, and then all of a sudden I took that 90-degree turn, but it wasn't 90 degrees. It turned out to be like several thousand degrees because I kept going like this around and around, and I just remember the smoke everywhere and the cones banging up against the windshield and the hood, and I didn't think the car was ever going to quit doing the 360s from the inertia. Until finally I stopped, and we had these helmets on, and we had these microphones where everybody could hear. And you could hear the special in charge. I didn't know if he was going to say, get out of the car, you're fired, what? But he finally spoke, so everybody could hear it. After all that silence, and the smoke is still there, and he says, would everybody please take a moment of silence for all the dead cones on the runway? So then the second time I did it, I went all the way through, made it into the garage, and then I put it in drive, and I did the 90-degree turn to go across the finish line. And to make me go faster, I mean, I had to raise up. I mean, I had to, like, have my foot on it really hard. And I went back like that, 12 o'clock, old habits, and I put my hand out here like this and went across. And I thought he was going to be proud, but no, he came running up. What do you think? You're some kind of New York taxi cab driver? What are you doing? Blankety blank in words I can't say in church, right? And I found out that day you always drive 9 and 3. Now, some wheels you may have, the fancy, you get Ferrari and everything, you have maybe 10 and 2, but they said 9 and 3 because you get the most flow back and forth. And you can be unswerving more driving that way and ready for anything. So that's what we want to be able to do with the will of our heart, is to be able to be that way. And when we look at this, how unswerving can we be when we are giving love, when we are giving hope, when we are giving of our time and our treasures to people? How unswerving can we be? How locked in our faith can we be in that law of circulation? There's a Navajo proverb that says you can't wake a person that is pretending to be asleep. Yeah, that's true. But you're asleep if you're not seriously trying to expand and get better when that circle completes itself in the way that you are loving, in the way that you are giving, and the way that you're receiving. You're actually blocking your flow. There's a thing called praise. How are you at giving praise to people? How are you at receiving praise? That can be hard. There was a poem being circulated a little bit this week by Mr. Stephen Dunn here. Most of you know how good of a writer he is. And when I first saw it, I was like, whoa, this is about me. And oh, it's kind of nice. And oh, my mind did not just receive it. Instead, it started to say, oh, people are going to read this and think I'm going to get a big head from it and this type of thing. I start talking about all the reasons. Well, maybe you shouldn't have sent it to that many people and all this stuff blocking the flow. Until finally the unity training kicked in and I said, no, just receive this. It's very nice. That's good stuff. Thank you, Stephen, for that. It's good stuff. And in fact, when somebody gives you something and you are feeling that, just stop yourself. You can affirm, that's good stuff right then. If you're giving something to somebody and you want them to go to the next level, just say, that's good stuff. It feels good. It feels good because it's all God stuff. It's good stuff because it's all God stuff and it's all God. And you can just sum that up by saying, good stuff, good stuff. Okay? So why don't you just look at somebody right now and say, that's good stuff. Yeah. Doesn't that feel good? It is good stuff. Life is good stuff. Even grief. We find ourselves being a part of that cycle, that circle of grief, because you know what? You're alive. It's going to happen. I gave the example of relationships, and you know, I remember losing a relationship and really grieving over it to that point to where I was like, ooh, will I ever love again? I remember that. And right now, as I stand here on stage, I'm reminded of a movie called How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Now, if you haven't seen it, I'll give you the quick Cliff Note version. It's basically, there's a bet going on. I haven't seen it in years, but there's a bet going on. And he has to not let her break up with him, and she's trying to get him to break up with her. You ever done that, where you're trying to get the other person to break up so you're not the bad person, right? And she ends up messing up like this poker game or something, and then she calls his mother and says, would you send me baby pictures? Now, he had not introduced her to the mother yet. But can you imagine, she's calling and saying, hey, would you just send me baby pictures? So she gets a baby picture, she makes an album, and he gets home, and she's like, hey, baby, you want to see what our kids are going to look like? He's like, A, I haven't asked you to, I haven't proposed. B, you met my mom? What? So that he wanted to break up. He was talking to his friend about it. He goes, I don't know how I'm going to handle this anymore. And the friend says, well, I tell you what I do. You know, when I go to therapy, that always buys me a couple extra weeks. So you guys should go to therapy. So he tells her, hey, honey, we're going to therapy. Well, she has a friend that she plans and says, okay, you're going to be the therapist and all this kind of stuff. So they show up and everything. And they start telling the story. And all of a sudden, the therapist says, are you ashamed of her? And then she's like, he's ashamed of me. And he's like, what in the world is going on here? Until finally he realizes what's happened and the gig is up and he's like, okay, give me my $300 back. But in the end of the movie, they love each other. But what happens because of the wounds and because of the grief and things that they faced in the past is she tries to run and he won't have it. Have you ever tried to run away from grief? There's another story I want to tell you about a minister. His name is Levi Lusco, and he's a reverend, and Reverend Levi lost his daughter, a beautiful, angelic, amazing daughter at 5 years old, and lost her. She passed away 2 or 3 days before Christmas. Now, several weeks before that, he had been thinking about what his Christmas sermon was going to be about. Now, he didn't even know, would he even be able to do the Christmas sermon? But several weeks before, when he was thinking about what he was going to do and he wasn't getting anything, he actually found himself in New York at a Broadway play, Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, was the name of it. And in this show, Spider-Man, it wasn't really that good, not good seats, wasn't that particularly into it. But as they were leaving, they were walking away from the theater, and lightning struck. Lightning. And it made him turn around, and he looked back in the marquee of Spider-Man there. It said, "Turn off the dark." Like lightning, right then, he knew what his talk was going to be about. He started playing, went back to the hotel, and he started writing it. But then this tragedy happened. And for a minute, he wasn't sure he would be able to speak. And of course, most people did not expect him to go speak that Christmas. It's understandable. But when they were coming out of the morgue where his daughter was, his wife gave him his business cards. And he said, "You go back in there and you give them your business cards because they are touched and they need to be there Sunday." And so he went and he gave the sermon on how to turn off the dark. I don't know if I could have done that. He certainly pulled on his strength and his faith to be able to do that. 15 months later, he was back at the in New York, back in the Big Apple, and he had to give a talk somewhere. And his talk 15 months later was "Turn Off the Dark." Now, unbeknownst to him, sitting out in the audience was that Spider-Man, Peter Parker, that had just played the part 15 months before. After the show, Spider-Man writes and tweets, "Oh my gosh, Reverend Levi was amazing, life-changing." Reverend Levi sees it and is like, "What is this for real?" And he checks it out, and it's really Spider-Man that had written that. But do you see how it all went full circle? How Peter Parker's life was affected. Other people's lives were affected. Even out of tragedy, you have to be willing to act. Even out of grief, you have to be able to have hope and act anyway. And that's what he did, and he would have never written the book had that not happened. He wrote a book called Through the Eyes of a Lion. Through the Eyes of a Lion. And it's about, hey, you know how lions have that laser vision? It's almost like what he said. He said, you know, when you go in to get your eyes dilated, they dilate them to do what? To allow more light in. And you can't really see things close up. Everything gets really fuzzy. But you can see really sharp way away. And that's what we do when we put in the light to our hearts. Right here. When we open the eyes, the lens of our soul, we're able to put more light there and commune with God and see our truth, not be trapped by these things that are right in front of us that are blurry, these human things and these human challenges, or that shiny object. We're able to see through to our truth and act. And that's what unity is about. And that's what coming full circle is about. And I really want to get one or two of you maybe to tell a story about maybe how you were willing, or something in your life that was powerful, how that you went full circle in your life. Don? Yes. They're both hot. They're both hot. You take this one in case somebody over there wants to. Hey, we got Michael up there. Of course, they're both hot. Right.
So as I shared maybe a little bit this morning, my full circle moment is like a 40-year full circle moment, and it really is being here at Unity. Growing up, I had a very violent upbringing, and then I grew up in a church and school system where we got sermons like "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God," "Holding You Over the Pit of Hell," just looking for an excuse to drop you. So when I went off to school, college, I knew two things. I knew family and church were something to get away from, so I did. as fast as I could, and I hadn't been back in a long time. At one point, I'm ashamed to say, but I threw my Bible away. I was that disgusted with God, and just I couldn't bear the thought of God because of what I thought God was. When I got married, I knew a third thing, which was I wasn't going to repeat any of that violence, and I knew that I was going to turn off the darkness, but I didn't know how to turn on the light. So over the course of probably 15 years, a lot of grace and love got brought into my life through people who helped heal me energetically or through counseling or whatever. A lot of women were involved in that process because they were in tune with that side of themselves, and that's just what Spirit put in my path. A year and a half ago, I saw my father for the first time in 15 years and took him to lunch at North Park and was able to forgive him and look in his eyes and see that light of divinity. And 9 months ago in meditation, I had a sense that I was going to start having more men in my life that were mentors and spiritual leaders. 6 months ago, I walked through the doors of Unity for the first time on a Friday night to one of Eric's meditations, and I knew I was home, and I also knew I had family. And I've discovered that here and through the music team and being part of that family and just everyone I've gotten to know here. And then last week, I didn't know James was doing this talk, but there was a picture of he and I on stage for just a brief second that was posted on Facebook. And it was just he and I together. And that picture struck me, and I didn't know why until he put words in it today, which is the full circle piece. But me on stage with a man in church with a senior minister doing something from a place I thought I'd never go back to is a huge blessing in my life. And I've learned to rediscover love for those old songs. And later we're going to sing a song that actually, again, we planned this 2 months ago, but it just happens to be Love Lifted Me. And it did.
All right. Thank you. And as the next person comes up, I did tell Don he could use my Bible after that happened. So it does bring up religious triggers, though, and I know maybe some of you have been had something happen with religion that was not so good, perhaps. But when you complete the circle, when you go back, you get another chance to look at it again. Maybe there was some truth there that you didn't see before, or maybe it's something you can still put on the shelf and say, I don't resonate with that, but what other goodness is there? What other good stuff is there? So I'm not going to put that wall up. The book I was reading is more what we would call fundamental, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't have to resonate with every single thing in there. Fundamental is not a bad word. It's just a pathway. So thank you for bringing that up, Don. Thank you.
Recently, I was cleaning off some bookshelves, getting rid of things, and I found a journal that's 30 years old. On Sunday, 12/6/87, this morning, I attended church Unity on Forest Lane. Many people were there that are in my life on more than a casual basis. Matt Kendall. Wow. Suzanne Walls, Ben Horowitz, Hank Schmidt, Mary Margaret Mischke, Artis Spees, B.J. Mills, and about five or six more. 30 years ago, Ben Horowitz attended this church. She was a Jew. And she's the one that introduced us all to the Course of Miracles that changed my life. And here, 30 years later, the circle is complete. I'm back at Unity Church.
Sometimes it's hard. There's one back there done, Pam. Sometimes it's hard for a man to grieve, but it breaks the circle if they do not and not willing to cry. That's why I like this Native American proverb here, to be able to just express and be willing to be vulnerable. Okay.
My name's Carol, and I'm new to Unity. I came here in October in a family crisis. And I've had so much healing that it's almost surreal. So I'm going to ask Spirit to speak through me, to give me clarity, to relate to you my experience. I've always been very religious. I grew up in a very religious family, but there was always a secret of abuse that was hidden. And we were given a very affluent family where anything that was not acceptable was hidden. So as a result, I grew up in abusive relationships, abusive families. My children were abused. And when it got so bad, I finally got a divorce, got my kids, and then my house burned down. And I moved to Dallas. When I moved to Dallas, I was very, very sick. My teenagers began using drugs. I became very ill. I had a seizure, and I was terminated for being ill. My kids, because I had no money, my oldest began to sell drugs, and I had to kick them out because I had vertigo so bad that I couldn't get out of bed. And then I came to Unity. And here I found a family when I felt lost. I found a spirituality that came from within, then from without, and a peace. I found friends who brought me joy and true love and kindness, and I began to heal. And I became well. I got healthy. I started working again. And a few months ago, my 19-year-old son called me and asked for my help. That was April 20th. And since then, he's gotten a GED. He's gotten a certification in computer tech.
Amen.
He's gotten a job. He's very well employed, has insurance. And I'm working. And I'm happy. And I've released so much of the trauma and conflict. And a lot of it is that you can't hide from who you are by believing in something outside of yourself. It's knowing that God lives within us that gives us peace. And I'm grateful to be here at Unity.
Thank you. You went full circle with your story, and that's beautiful, and what's happened in your life. And, you know, the Reverend Levi mentioned earlier, the last story I want to tell about that, too, is when he was at the grave of his daughter, he was beating on the ground, upset. Not mad at God, not mad that it happened, just upset that it happened because he's human. And he kept saying, give me strength, give me strength, give me strength. And the verse he was reading is my favorite verse, Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. That's what that's about. There's a lion back there. You can't tell because of the spotlights, but you are enough. You are so enough. It is unbelievable how enough you are. That is strength. That is strength. That is completing the circle. And I want us to end on a high note by saying, everything that you get out there, put lightning into it, put energy into it. When you're hugging, I know it's weird to hug here for some of you, but that's okay. We'd rather be a little weird than normal. It's okay. But you can sit in your seat and just send out love. You don't have to get up. You can just send out love when we're hugging through your fingertips with lightning, through your thoughts. And when you're seeing kids and when you are around kids, be somebody who makes everybody feel like a somebody. That's what we want to let these kids know. I know we got people here that volunteer with kids. We have a beautiful children's church downstairs that are doing that. But this is, if we want a peaceful world, we need to infuse that with our kids and complete the circle. You can get started tomorrow at work. When you go by that coworker in that cubicle that's so difficult, you can just say, good stuff, good stuff. They'll think you're weird. That's cool. And you can also, here's what I'm going to do. If you do it, I'll do it, okay? Tomorrow, I'm going to stop, and believe me, Evelyn's not difficult. She's like Rock of Gibraltar for us. Many of you know Evelyn is Catholic, but she's very Unity also. She's both, and that's what Unity is about. And she's always positive. She's always consistent. She's always smiling. So I'm going to stop at her office tomorrow on the way, and I'm going to be like, may the circle be unbroken. And I'm going to summon my Johnny Cash. And you can do that too. And we could practice it right now, Henry, if you could. The band, Bob, could give me a little. May the circle be unbroken. You got to help me out. Come on, Mary. By Lord, by and by, there's a hurdle in a sky, in a circle, be unbroken, by and by, there's a better Namaste. That's good stuff. Amen. Amen.
So, Jack, this is what I have to say. That was some good stuff. Good stuff. I said to him at the first service, you know, every time I think I know everything, he comes up with a new topic.